Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, Smurfs, let's get started with breakfast. Hit it!
Happy birthday, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday just for you. Happy birthday.
Everybody, and welcome back to Keeping It Real with Cindy. My husband was going to start the show tonight, but he obviously was not looking at the board to see when the music stopped. So I'm waiting for him. Okay, here he is. So he had something to say, and we played that song on purpose for a really special person that's in the chat room tonight, but is always there. So I'm going to pull my husband on the air. Hey, honey, you're live on the air.
Live on the air, okay. All right. Yeah, I'm live. I can see myself live on the air. That's cool.
Yeah, you weren't watching the music.
Well, I was actually working on a screening call, so I apologize for
that. I know.
A little busy tonight. It's a pretty full chat rooms. I mean, pretty full queue. Going to be a good show, so. But really, I just wanted to, before the show got started, I just want to give a shout-out to our friend Ken Rock. He's been with the show even before I was with the show, and he's been a supporter all along. He's done a great job, and we just really appreciate it. But the big thing is yesterday was his birthday, so we went and give him a shout-out, say happy birthday, and thanks for all you do, Ken. We really appreciate it. Hang in there. And I hope you had a good birthday yesterday. Hope you're continuing to have a good day today. And I just wanted to let everybody know, man, he's a great guy. He helps us out a lot, and we really appreciate it. So happy birthday, Ken. We'll catch up with you later on.
Thanks, honey.
No problem.
And anybody that is a regular listener to the show really understands me. My husband, Wayne, is in the background screening calls and doing, like, all of that kind of work for me, and he doesn't get on air very often. And so for him to come on, he had to say happy birthday to Ken. I want to say happy birthday to Ken. He actually takes care of my Facebook wall for Keeping It Real with Cindy Radio. He's an administrator over there, and he does such an excellent job of doing that. But we have, like, the most special guest. I've been hyped about this show all day long. I couldn't wait. It's like, come on, the clock wasn't running quick enough. And tonight we are welcoming back, and a lot of you know him from previous shows, Stephen LaChance, and I'm going to bring him on the air. Stephen has so many books out. Actually, I've put the website into the chat room, but it's really easy to remember. It's www.stevenlachance, that's StevenLachance.com. And without further ado, Stephen, are you there?
I'm here. Thank you for having
me.
Hey, before we get, I'm doing good, but before we get started, I got to say happy birthday to Ken. And you know what? When your birthday's on a Wednesday, my friend, you're able to party all the way through the weekend. So enjoy this weekend coming up.
Yeah, and he is. He's like a really special friend to us, as are all of our listeners. But it's his birthday today, so he gets the spotlight.
Today's his birthday?
Anyway.
I thought it was. Is it today?
It's actually yesterday. And so it was on a Tuesday, but you're absolutely right. Actually, when we hit a certain age, I think we get the entire month. Forget that week thing.
We get at least one weekend, right?
Yeah. But, Stephen, I also have kind of a little surprise for you. You know me. I got to be sneaky. And so there's someone really special that I'm going to pull on the air with us, and I'm going to have this person speak, and it's going to be, what was that game show that you had to figure out who the star was or who the by their voice? And so I'm just going to pull this person on the air, and hello, person, you're on the air. Can you talk, and let's see if Steve can figure out who you are.
Morris Mill.
Keep going.
Union House.
There you go. Come on, Steve.
Union. Say it again.
Okay.
Keep going.
We
got to
get her
like
to laugh.
The
laugh will give it away.
Tequila and karaoke.
Oh, that'll do it.
Is it Teresa?
Yeah,
it is. I got Teresa to come on the air.
You actually got her to go on the air? No, I can't believe it. You know, that's funny because when I used to do regular radio, which I did radio all the time, and I was doing 4 hours of drive time radio every morning, and I was doing it by myself, and I would call Teresa and I would say, go to the grocery store and tell me what the price of milk is. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, go to the gas station and tell me what the price of gas is because things were going crazy.
Now, mind you, I had just gotten off like an 8-hour shift at work. So I'm driving around at 6 o'clock in the morning doing that.
So
but,
I would send her to places and I would have her do different things. And she was kind of like my my out-in-the-field kind of person.
Oh, cool. And so, yeah, and she was a little nervous before she came on. I'm like, oh, no, this is just a bunch of friends. But the reason why, you know why I brought Therese on, because you guys have worked on so many cases together. And this show is about hauntings and that sort of thing, stories. And as Wayne said, we have a pretty full queue of callers, but I think because I actually got Teresa on, why don't you start us off, you guys, telling us about one of the cases that you worked on that was really spooky together.
Which one?
I know.
You know,
I know.
There was one that was really wicked. And this thing would make sounds like it was, having sex. With the other spouse. So one of the spouses would come home and they would hear sounds of what sounded like their other having sex with someone. And so we went to this house, and anyway, it was crazy. And we had to do a cleansing. So we're about halfway through this cleansing and things start happening to Teresa. And I actually had to pretty much grab her and rush her out of this house because she stopped breathing.
Ooh.
Yeah,
and so whatever
it didn't like the St. Michael prayer at all. It seemed the more that I would say, the further I got into the prayer, the tighter grip it would be on my neck. And when I would stop the prayer, it let loose. And it would do that. Every time I would start the prayer over again, it would tighten up on my windpipe. And it just, you know, and I said, I can't breathe. And the next thing I knew is I heard Stephen say, we got to get her out of the house. And then here I am in the front of the house, kind of looking up, dazed and confused. And it was like, oh, my gosh, that was
bizarre.
That, Yeah, I think that one's
disturbing
in my mind more than any of the others, in the fact that that was the only time in all the years that we were doing this that I had ever seen her that affected in that way. I mean, physically affected.
Yeah. And that would be scary. I mean, the only time I ever had that I can remember that I had a spirit, you know, make me feel like I couldn't breathe was at Mineral Springs. And it was upstairs. And I heard Teresa had the exact same experience that I did from one of the guys that was with the team that worked Mineral Springs. He told me that he's like, you and Teresa, and I had no clue. He didn't know her name. He just said, a girl that came with Stephen LaChance, I think her name was Terry. So at first I thought it was Terry Spirit Dancer. And then I found out later it was Teresa, and that's how actually Teresa and I hooked up, was from that. I came onto Facebook and friended her, and we've been friends ever since, and that's been a while ago.
Well, I think the first red flag should have been when we walked in and all the rosaries were hanging on the wall.
Was that Mineral Springs?
No, this was
the other house. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they had a lot of rosaries on the wall.
They had rosaries and medals and everything. I mean, it was all over kind of throughout the house.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, that would kind of say something to me, too, I think. And the moment that you started.
I always tell people, if you walk into a house and you're going to buy it and you see on the wall a lot of crucifixes or something of the crosses, something of the religious nature, maybe it's probably not the best thing to do. And I've heard of people by going into houses, you know how sometimes the pain will age underneath something, and they'll see the crosses were there, and they'll go ahead and buy the house, and then it'll be haunted. But you hear a lot of that, actually. So if you ever walk into a house and there's, you know, a tremendous amount of crucifixes, you probably should beware.
Okay. And that didn't happen to us. And you've been there. Both of you have been to my old house.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it didn't happen there. And by the time you came, I'd gotten rid of most of it. But that was a bizarre house, too. The only other thing we ever had in a house that we bought was calendars as wall or art. And I didn't figure that would be anything I'd have to worry about. So they had calendars everywhere. Every room had two or three calendars hanging, and I'm like, okay, this is bizarre, but not scary.
The wallpaper
just weird people.
The Bible. Then you worry about that.
Yeah, it was like, okay, this is fine. But yeah, the other house was a drug house, and it was a drug house before we bought it. And so, you know, it had all sorts of bad energy in it, which I think is what initiated the opening for everything to come through in the DD house, was all of the negative there. They were doing, they were making, I guess, crystal meth in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and yeah, it was torn up in a mess. And yeah, Bear's on here. Bear's listening, by the way, Stephen. She's just able to call. Yeah. And she says, don't you think that because attention is paid to these entities' places, it helps to anchor the spirit? What do you guys say to that?
Absolutely. And, you know, that is one of the hardest things about dealing with these cases is to get people to understand where they participate in their haunting. Meaning that it's like, I can remember the Union haunting, one of the times when it felt like, you know, things were calming down. And I can remember Linda, and whoever reads the book, her name's Helen in the book. I can remember her looking at me saying, you know, it almost, how do we go back to normal life? And there is a sense of that with these hauntings. You know, it's hard to go back to living things normally without things happening all the time, without the adrenaline rush of the haunting. It really is, and it's kind of hard to get people to understand they participate in the haunting because they thrive on it as much as the haunting thrives on them thriving upon it. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. It does make sense, and I tend to agree, especially the fear factor. When a person is overtaken with fear from a haunting, I think, you know, they keep that feeling, and it kind of helps to draw in whatever is there.
Well,
but go ahead.
You know what, Sin? See, fear is addictive. I mean, think about it. I mean, why do you think the horror film industry and the horror book industry is so huge? Fear is addictive. We like to be scared. And a lot of times in this haunting, whether these people want to admit it or not, there's a part of that plays into it. And when it's gone and it's not happening to you all the time, it's like an emptiness that's there. And that emptiness is hard to fill with normalcy again. It really is.
Yeah. Yeah. And I couldn't agree more. It's, completely. And just like Bear said in the room just now, it feeds it. It, you know, our energy feeds whatever happens to be there. But we've got so many callers, guys. You want to start taking some calls to find out what their stories are?
Yeah, that's fun.
Sure. I know. I think so, too. So, first caller, and Wayne always, you know, screens. Wayne's in the background. Thank you again, honey. And he screens and puts numbers up for me. First caller tonight is Tamara. Is it Tamara or Tamara?
Yeah. Tamara. Yes,
okay. Hi, Tamara, and you've called before.
Hi.
I'm just really bad with names. So tell us what's going on.
Well, I have two lights that turn off at a certain time of day. One of them is a master bathroom light that turns off around 12:30 every day, 12:20 to 12:30. Stays off for a couple hours. I have another light in my kitchen, canister light, and that light goes out every night around 7:15 or 7:30 and stays off for about an hour, hour and a half. Now, we've been doing some remodeling, and since this light issue started, the bathroom master switch and light fixture have been replaced, and it still turns off at that time every day. Is there something trying to say?
It's a residual.
It almost sounds residual.
Yeah, doesn't it? It reminds me.
Yeah.
We did a case years ago. And this case would, every night at 10 p.m., you would hear the footsteps come down the stairs. You would hear them cross the stairs. You would hear the bathroom door open and close, the bathroom toilet flush. And then you would hear it messing around the kitchen. Well, what it was, the person that lived in that house, that they went to bed every night at the same time. They would walk down the stairs, they would go to the bathroom, and they would go to the kitchen to fix their coffee. It's a residual. It's a replay of activity that happened over and over. It's not an intelligent haunting, meaning you can relate to it most likely. It's just a replaying, sort of like a videotape or a film that replays over and over again.
Right. I've had other paranoia activity in this house prior, and so it's been cleansed. And there were things that were brought up during the cleansing, going after that, and now the lights are starting in. So I was wondering if it was somebody to say
it's just a residual that stayed behind. You can have residual can be in different ways. It can be like you're experiencing where every night the light goes out, or it can be as simple as 5 o'clock. I hear this one a lot, by the way. 5 o'clock, the woman can smell her husband's cigar smoke or pipe smoke that he would light every night. It can be something as simple as that. It's just a replaying of activity, and I'm not surprised to hear that at one point you had some paranormal activity.
Yeah. Well, and Bear is asking, So in your opinion, what causes residual energy to activate, to begin?
Well, you know, in St. Louis, go ahead. You want to tell this one, Teresa?
Which one?
In St. Louis, we have all the caves underneath the houses, and there's running water, which causes electricity, plus the limestone. Most of the foundations of the old houses are built with limestone, which is found that if you add energy to limestone, it has an ability to record things.
Railroad tracks near a house that's active will usually heighten a haunting also.
Mm-hmm. Same purpose, okay. You know, it's that energy that it feeds into the atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
And what was that prayer you said when you mentioned the first item of when the wife would come home and hear her husband sounding like he was having sex with somebody? I had a similar experience in my own, and it was a really tough time to try and get it to record because I could never get it. I don't care what device I use, there was never any sound on that recording. And at one point on my cell phone, I was able to get like a 10-second blip to have my son listen to it to realize I was
That was a pretty serious haunting that was going on. And by the way, the recording, one of the first ways, if somebody tells me I can't sleep, and Teresa will tell you this too, the first thing we always tell them is put a videotape recorder on you or a camera of some sort, because if you try to record it, they seem to not like that. And you'll get a good night's sleep for sure.
Yeah.
Interesting. And so,
but
again, we have
if you hype like a light going on and off or a door closing, you know, periodically or whatever. If you had your house cleansed and you had a lot worse things going on, that should be kind of the minimal of what you're experiencing. And I would say the more you ignore it and the less energy you're giving to it, you know, it's going to eventually, if it does come on and off, just ignore it. That's about all I can say. You give it a little more energy, it's going to find some more energy to do some more stuff.
Right. Well, it's kind of like doing an investigation in your own home. What are your thoughts on
that?
Oh,
yeah, that's a no-no.
Yeah.
Never.
I knew that was going to say that.
No, no.
No.
Yeah. It's like you're saying, here, come on over.
Yeah.
You know, come hang out with me.
We did a show for a haunting House of Sorrows. If you guys are fans of a haunting, if you want to watch House of Sorrows, that's Teresa and I in that show. And it was a house that we went to, and I used the ghost box to see what I could find there. Well, anyway, the guy seemed really interested in the ghost box. So we cleanse the house. We get the haunting completely stopped. And he asked me about the ghost box, and I specifically told him, I'm like, no, don't do anything in this house. No sooner than we left that house, he got himself a ghost box and started communicating with it again. Of course, it came back. And not only did it come back, it came back worse than it was before. No, you don't ever want to be, because it's always looking for that hook. Some people, I remember that woman with the camera, Teresa, who liked to take pictures.
Yes.
You know, and we went to the priest and we told him, well, she gets the most crazy things in her pictures. I mean, people's faces would morph and everything. It was nuts. Mm-hmm. And he said, well, she shouldn't be, tell her to quit taking the pictures. I mean, this was an exorcist, by the way. And so she continued taking the pictures, and you couldn't stop her from taking these pictures, meaning we couldn't stop her from causing the haunting because she was hooked. It hooked her with the pictures. She wanted to always see if it was around. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I had the same experience on accident taking photos one day and found that. And yes, curiously, would take the photos in the same place again to see if there were more or if they were still there.
Mm-hmm.
And then after a period of time, I did it again to see what I could see. So you do kind of become curious on who might be. I mean, it's kind of creepy when you see these faces and heads and the morphings and things that they can do and watch you. You feel like they're watching
you. Right, but there's an excitement to that, too, though. You know, and it's that excitement that is the dangerous part of it, because it feeds into who we are.
Right.
And you don't
realize it's inviting until you're doing it,
and it gets out of hand, and then you realize what you've done, you know, and you're like, oh, wow, you know, here I was doing that all this time, and, you know, all that you were doing was heightening it.
Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, it is hard to stop. I understand that. But at the same time, you might as well just, you know, write out an invitation and say, hey, come on in. And bring all your friends, by the way. And so, okay, so we have another question from the chat room regarding the residual. So they're asking, so is it spirit residual or simply energy stored in the limestone, quartz, etc.? And then it goes on, or is it our mind simply saying that these things are spirit?
I'm going to tell you something. Now, mind you, no one actually knows the correct answer to this.
Right.
So anything that I tell you is going to be opinion. And anybody that tells you that this is 100% the way it is are probably lying to you. But I believe it's just a replay of events. It's just a replay of energy. That's my thought. In my experience,
it's like a movie in time.
Yeah, it's like a movie in time. It just replays itself. And that's
I agree. I agree. I think residual hauntings are just basically the spirit is just doing the same thing that they did when they were alive and following a pattern. And they don't actually communicate or, you know, it's the same thing over and over and over again, and it can be a number of things. You could hear somebody walking across the floor every day about the same time. You could hear a door opening, closing, or even a cabinet or, you know, something like that, but it's repetitive. And
you could even see something. I mean, you know, Anne Boleyn, a lot of people believe that the ghost of Anne Boleyn going to her death that they see is residual. So, and it there again, it's the limestone again that's holding in the thought. And it's replaying.
Okay, so guys, is there a way to get rid of the residual?
Yeah.
No.
What draws them? Oh,
well, residual is just, it's energy. It's just the energy that remains. There's no getting rid of it. It's going to stay.
It's
going to
happen no matter if you cleanse or anything.
Yeah, you can cleanse that till the cows come home and it's still going to happen.
It'll keep going on and on.
So, I mean, I guess what I'm telling you is to get used to your lights going off at that time of day.
it's just kind of, you know, happen.
And a lot of people learn to live with certain things. But, you know, if it gets out of hand, that's when you know, if it starts doing something like throwing a glass across the room at you or, you know, starts trying to harm somebody, I would
that becomes
say,
intelligent.
Yeah,
that's
a little
that's
red
a
flag
thing.
There.
Yeah.
You
that's
know,
a little bit
but,
different thing.
Yeah, but a residual is just basically noise, or, you know, you might catch a glimpse of it, or you might feel it before it starts happening. And like Stephen said, you just learn to live with that light going off on that at that time, because that's the way it is in the house. And,
well, and I,
you know,
to what I've been
there's really.
Here, compared to what I've been through, the lights off at a certain time doesn't scare me. Like you said, they're not throwing something at me, and I have just kind of ignored it. But at some point, I wondered, why are they trying to talk to me? Is somebody trying to tell me something? Why is this happening? And then the second light happens, and I'm like, okay, now we got a second one doing it.
Yeah.
Well,
and
I don't think
so.
Trying to really do, like I said, a residual is just what it is. It's a replay of something just over and over and over again.
If it was something more serious than that, it would
it would get your attention.
It would, yeah. If you're ignoring the light and that's not doing it, oh, trust me, it would up the ante on you. You know, so I don't think at this point there's anything for you to worry about.
Right.
Okay. Well, that's good to know. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling in. Thank you. So interesting. I love these kinds of talks where you're kind of giving opinions. Yeah. Giving out opinions on, you know, it's like some people just really don't know. And, you know, and Bear's in here and she's asking some very, very interesting questions and making remarks and stuff. And so I think that's great, too, because, you know, it's things people might not know that they might want to know. But our next caller, you know Stephen, and so do I. It's our buddy Dustin.
Hey, Dustin.
Hi, Dustin.
Hi, Stephen. Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, my phone's messing up. Sorry. I guess I have one question. What about, how do you feel about ghosts following families around or a certain individual? Because I feel like since I was 12, I'm on my fifth house now that's been haunted.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay, there's two things in this world, and this is what I believe. There's haunted places and there's haunted people. You, my friend, are a haunted person, meaning, and it can mean a lot of different things. Sometimes it'll be one thing that attaches to a family and follows them. As a matter of fact, I think the union thing still follows Elliot, my son, quite a bit. Or it can be is something as simple as that you are just kind of a magnet towards these things. And so anywhere that you would go, it would pull in whatever's around you. That happens quite often as well.
Yeah.
So I'm not,
Go ahead.
Am I manifesting this? Is that what's going on? Or, like you said,
are you manifesting? Well, that could be too, but I don't believe in your case, because I know a little bit more about your case than most.
Right.
I think you're more of one of these people that's just more of a magnet that draws it in.
Mm-hmm. I would tend to agree with that.
Yeah, and they don't scare you, though, Dustin, right? That I don't want to get into on the air, but, you know, because I do know your case a little bit better.
Right. Well,
but you definitely seem to follow that path.
Right. Scare, I did have a scary episode last week.
Okay.
House I lived in now, caught on fire back in the 1890s, I think. And the room that caught on fire, I was walking through that room, and I smelled smoke. So, of course, you know, I check the house, you know, everything's off, there's no smoke anywhere, I go to bed. An hour later, the fire alarm goes off.
Mm.
You know, so I actually took the batteries out of the smoke detector, and as I'm turning around, in my kitchen doorway was a woman standing there with a long dress on.
Mm-hmm.
And the people that lived here before had told me they had seen a woman with a long dress standing in the kitchen. I actually have a picture of the woman who built the house in the dining room with her long dress on, and that's what it looked like to me.
Mm-hmm.
And but like we actually we made eye contact like that split second,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I was scared for a few seconds.
Well, you want my opinion on that? And,
yeah.
And it is just like Stephen. You know, none of us will know until we're dead. But opinions, you know. My opinion on what is happening with you, and I know you get that instant adrenaline rush where you have some fear, but trying to avoid that fear. So you feel the fear, and then you protect yourself, and you just lose that fear, and you ignore what's going on, because as long as you give it your attention and your fear and all of that, it's going to stick around. I mean, I would go as far as just completely ignoring it or saying, I don't want you here. It's time for you to leave now. and walk away. Just literally walk away and not give it a moment's, you know, attention from that point forward.
Okay.
But I think you're sensitive, and just as Bear said here in the room, she said you are probably an empath and you're sensitive. And
right.
when you're any of those things, spirit tends, like Stephen said, to come in and hone in on you from time to time. And if you don't want them around, then don't let them know you don't want them around. So you just, you know, you can turn and tell them, I want you gone, and I want you gone now, and turn your back on it and walk away.
Right.
And
I've
do
actually,
that
I've
on
done
a
that middle of night, yeah.
Yeah, consistent basis. You know, every time it happens, just do that. Most hauntings, and I think Stephen and Teresa will go with me on this, are just spirits trying to communicate, the majority.
Right.
And
right.
when they figure out they can't communicate with you, then they'll move on.
Okay.
What do you guys think? Give your opinion.
Yep. And
Stephen,
you know,
Teresa,
the smell of the smell that you were smelling, it's like I always smell it as more burning rubber.
Okay. Yeah.
When I smell it. You know,
and it's brief.
Funny. Yeah.
Was it a brief? You know, it's very
brief. I'll look at Rick and go, I smell rubber burning. And you usually, if I do that, you know there's going to be some type of activity within a 24-hour period. And
that's what happens.
It almost always happens that way. So I thought it was interesting that you when you talked about it, how the smell happened and then the activity, because it's usually how it goes.
They like to play with smoke detectors for some reason. I want to say out of
that maybe
10 cases, 5 of those cases will tell me my smoke alarm keeps going off in the middle of the night, or my smoke alarm keeps going off. And, you know, and I just keep telling them, don't take that battery out. I said, just replace a battery if you, you know, or do what you got to do to it. But, you know, turn it off, you know, but don't take the battery out of that.
Battery out.
It's never a good idea
that energy.
Turn off your smoke alarm, even if you think it might just be paranormal. It's never a good idea. But, you know, another thing is the doorknobs. I don't know how many cases we've been to where I don't know what it is about doorknobs. It's like they can't open them or something, and doorknobs are always wiggling.
Mm-hmm.
And Teresa's laughing because she knows I'm right.
And they're ghosts. You know, you'd figure they'd walk through. They wouldn't even have to open the door, but hey.
Right.
They want you to know they're there, and that's how they're going to go about it, I guess.
Yeah.
But they're probably trying to live a life. Like, has anyone seen The Others? That movie?
Yes.
That movie kind of really has always been like, I would have always seen that. They're going about their lives, and, you know, it's like they don't know the other's there, and they hear these noises, and they're like more, you know, some of them are as curious as you are in there.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I agree.
So you just, you know, and I kind of think that is a little on the logical thought about spirits, because it's like they're like living their life like they used to live it, and you know, they hear the noise
and then we come in and interfere. and you remember that
can we talk?
Do you remember that case we did at I wrote a book, Crazy, and it's about this place. It was a truck stop, and we did an EVP session when we first got to this haunted truck stop. And one of the first things the EVP said, and it was, they were shocked. You could tell they were just as shocked by us as we were by them. And you hear, I'm talking to this thing, and it goes, he's tall.
Yeah.
You know? You know, and it was like, what? And they were shocked that it was like all of a sudden a light bulb went off over their head, and they were like, hey, there's something tall over here talking to us, you know? And I think that pretty much explains it, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, I had an experience in the DD house where I went to bed. Wayne was already asleep, and I heard, and it wasn't unusual in that house, but I heard two men having a conversation. It wasn't loud, but it was annoying enough to where I couldn't go to sleep, right outside my bedroom door. And so I got up and I walked to the hall and I said, okay, enough, out of here. And suddenly this talking stopped, and it got real quiet, and then I heard this really light whispering, and it felt to me like I was the ghost in their world, and they're like, what was that?
Mm-hmm.
When I came in and said, you know, I'm trying to sleep, it's time for you to go now. It was almost as though they were having a normal conversation like we would have in our house, and then we hear something and we stop talking, and then we whisper, did you hear that? And it kind of felt like another dimension, you might say, where there were spirits, but I was the spirit in their world.
Mm.
You know, they were the spirits in my world, and I'm the spirit
sure.
in their
yeah.
world. And sure. it was just bizarre. But, yeah, Bear's going, good night, Bear. Thank you for coming. She's gone.
Good night, Bear.
But anyway, that was really an interesting thing that happened to me once in that house. You know, usually it would be just floor register flying up out of the floor or pot lid flying out of the pantry or something. And in that particular instance, it was like men in another dimension that I was the ghost in. And so, you know, it's like so curious. We don't know enough. It's why we do what we do, in a sense. But I try to just get them out of there. You know what I'm saying? I don't play with them. And so it was, yeah, it's time to go. But
well, that's a lot of what we do. We don't
mm-hmm.
go in with a lot of gadgets. We don't go in with 10 people that are trying to provoke it. The people, when they call us, they call because they want it gone. They don't want,
mm-hmm.
they know they have a spirit. They don't need to have any more proof than what they have. They're afraid.
Mm-hmm.
They want it gone. And
then most
that's
of the times
what,
they don't want us showing up in team t-shirts and,
yeah.
you know, they don't want the neighborhood to know the ghost hunters are here. You know,
right.
They want it really kind of, well, Sid, you know that. I mean, you know, they
yeah.
want to,
yeah.
they want to know, you know, they want it really low key. And we, most of the time we do it and you never know we were in and out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then, you know, and we don't leave it at that. It's like I keep mm-hmm. in touch with them. I make sure that
yeah.
they're doing, you know, what they should be doing and, you know, that they're not, you know. And then there are cases we walk away from, like the cases that we get it out of the house and then all of a sudden they get this little thing happening and they want to call a team in. And I'm
right.
like, why do you want to call a team in? Because you already had your house cleansed. You want it calmed down. Just ignore it, you know. And
yeah.
they're calling these teams in that are stirring everything up. And then here they are again. So it's
I remember
like,
one of the
know.
First cases we had that was like that. And I went to Johnny Zaffis, the haunted collector, who's the son of Ed Warren, who anybody's seen The Conjuring. That was Ed Warren. But anyway, so I go to John and I said, well, you know, this is happening. They won't stop. They keep doing it. We've been back in. And he said, you know, he goes, I learned a lesson a long time ago. My uncle Ed, that you can take the horse to water, but you can't force it to drink. Stephen, sometimes you got to walk away. And there's
right.
times, and he was absolutely right. There's sometimes in these cases where you can't help them. It's almost like sin. It's almost like think of the, you know, the abused wife that's beat by the husband. They take the husband away, but the wife always goes back to the husband.
Right.
It's almost like that. It's kind of sad, actually.
Right. And, you know, I've had cases where the person has called teams in and they got so much activity in their house and then they're fearful and they'll call me to come and try and remove it, and they will literally not be honest with me. I had a particular case that was in Defiance area where I used to live, and she called me in, and I went there, and I had asked her all of the questions that we do before we go. One of them being, have you done anything to bring this on? Have you done Ouija boards or, you know, any of that sort of thing? And no, I haven't done. And the problem was that she had children. And this spirit that she pulled in through all of these things, the teams and such, were going after, the spirits were bothering the children more than the adults in the house, as they usually do. And I went over to her house, and the first thing I did was walk downstairs. I felt an energy down there, and I turned to follow it, and leaning up against a podium was a Ouija board, and there were candles and all of this stuff on top of the Ouija board, and I just looked at her and can't help you. You're doing this. And I can't help you. So what I asked her, can I talk to the kids? And she said, yes, you may. And so I pulled the kids and told them how to protect themselves and did the best that I could with them. But it was one of those cases, what I call an attention seeker. She was pulling in over and over and getting things that she didn't want and calling in every team that she could get in there. And, I had to walk away.
Most of the time when you call in these teams aren't coming in. They might tell you they're coming in to help you. And trust me, I've been on both sides of the fence. I've been the person looking for help and the person to give the help. I can tell you from both sides. You know, they'll come in and tell you that their goal is to help you, but really, truly, their goal is to get evidence to share to the world.
And
you know,
they will
I don't know how many times
they can do to get that evidence. They'll do anything
to get that evidence. And then they will leave you. They will leave you.
Yes.
And they will not come back. And they will not help you. I remember, you know, at one point in the union hunting, and Linda and I were sitting on the front porch of the steps of the screening house. And she looked at me and she goes, damn it. She goes, I can, you know, we can pull anybody off the street within 10 minutes. They can tell you this place is haunted. But not one of these people can tell us how to take care of it. And that was the truth. These teams will come in and they will tell you they're going to help you. But the whole goal, when you see the T-shirts, when you see the group, the whole goal of that group is to come in and see what they can find. And most of the time, I'm going to say probably 75% of the time, they're going to stir it up for you.
Right. And then they're going to leave.
That's the truth. And
then that's the difference, though, between us, because that's not my goal. Teresa, you too, we work in the same way, is to get in there and try to get rid of whatever is there. And I will stay in touch with that family because I've generally given them homework, things that they need to do to, you know, to keep it from continuing. And I had one lady, I went to her house four times here in Key West, and I gave her the things to do. In the end, she wasn't doing them. And the last time I went, I said, you know, I'm not trying to be mean, but you're afraid, and you're asking for help, and I'm telling you what to do, and you're not doing it. And I said, you know, if you don't do this, I could make it go away for a while, but it's going to come back. And so she finally started doing it, and the last time I talked to her via the telephone, she didn't have any more activity. But I will still reach out to her again just to make sure that it stays that way. But, yeah, the number one goal for us is to get rid of it, not, I mean, we don't go in there to build evidence. We go in there to get rid of whatever is there for the family's sake. And
yeah,
so, yeah.
You know, when I go to a case, I usually go, when I go to a private case, I go with, you know, I plain clothes, and you know, with Missouri Paranormal Research, you got the cool shirt and everything. But on a case, I will not wear a shirt. I'll wear just a very basic outfit. I'll go, I'll help them. And I don't want them to know that, you know, I want them to know that I'm there for them, and I'm not there for the glory of pasting something on a page, you know, and that's the first thing I tell them. And very rarely on those cases, I will bring my camera. I don't take pictures at those cases. I go, I walk the house, I feel what I got to feel, I do what I have to do, and, you know, I talk to the family, and then I go. It's not a take pictures. Now, if I go on an investigation somewhere to a real cool place or whatever, then the camera comes out. Then the spirit
The truth of the matter is there is no ghost picture or ghost voice or anything that you're going to get. If somebody's not going to want to believe it, they're not going to believe it anyway. So you're not getting anything that's going to prove anything to anybody but yourself.
So when you go
into these cases to help someone, there's no reason to be gathering evidence. We'll gather a little bit, and the only reason that I would ever gather evidence is in case I have to go to that next step and I have to go to the church, because the church is going to want to require me to prove that there's something happening. You know, in these cases, that's kind of the thing. But it's a little bit more complicated than just taking some pictures, folks. I mean, there's a three-pronged step to proving to the church that they need to come in. It's not just, we don't just go to the church and they just say, okay, we're in. You know, we have to prove by medical means. We have to prove by psychological means. And then if all of that is okay, and they're not faking it, then that would be considered paranormal.
And then, even then, the church is going to send somebody. The church will send somebody.
The church will send somebody. You know, so the evidence is not the important part. And I always say this, and it always ticks people off when I say it, but it's the truth. There's two different types of paranormal investigation. There's those that are helping, and there's those that are doing. There's a difference between helping and doing. Doing is gathering evidence to put out and talk about and try to prove the existence, which in my personal opinion, I don't think you're ever going to do. And then there's those that are helping. You know, I always say, you know, being a victim of one of the most extreme hauntings, now mind you, my haunting is labeled by the Catholic Church as one of the most extreme out there. They did a report on it, for God's sakes. But anyway, coming from that, I can tell you that, you know, it doesn't matter what is causing that haunting to the person that is living it. They just want to get through it. And no matter amount of pictures or no matter amount of video or audio you take, it doesn't matter. They just want help. So these teams that are going out and telling these people they're helping them, and that are going in and say they're helping them with the sole purpose of just getting a picture, God bless your soul, because you're going to, I'm serious, there's a place in hell for you.
And then, and 2 weeks later, they say, oh, we got this private case. 2 weeks later, they plaster it all over their page to let everybody see. And I'm like,
I wish I'd get a dollar for everybody that told me that came into our haunting that we tried to get help from that told us that it was the most severe haunting they ever seen. You know what? Not hardly any of those people, not one of them that came in to help actually helped us. Not one of them. You know, that's how I got into this. I ended up trying to figure out how to help myself.
Right. You know, it's how I got into it, too. And then, you know, when you see all of these people that are struggling in the same way that you felt you did, even if it's not as severe, if they're fearful in their own home, and especially when children are involved, the whole goal for you is to help them to get rid of what's there so that they can live peacefully within their own home. And, you know, it's why we do what we do, is to help them live peacefully in their own home without having these occurrences on an ongoing basis. But, okay, guys, I have to, because we still have more callers. Dustin.
Yeah.
I know, we've had you on here the whole time, and we're just chatting away, but thank you for calling in.
Hal, it's always a pleasure talking to you.
You
thank
too.
You, my brother.
And I'm going to put you on hold.
Okay.
And
thank you, Dustin.
And we have, and I wanted to tell Deneen and Sarah not to hang up. We're going to get to you. So I think next we'll pull on Deneen. She was the next in line, and that's me. I'm just fair about the way I go about doing this. Hello, Deneen. How are you tonight?
Fine. How are you?
Good. You have a story for us or something that's happened?
Well, everywhere I've ever lived, as far as I can remember, I've either heard things or felt things or, you know, like that. But one place I lived, I lived in a house. It was about 100 years old. By the time I lived there. And I had four kids that lived there with me and my husband at the time. And we heard stuff all the time. We would actually see a little girl. Even the kids saw this little girl, which scared the kids. But that stuff doesn't really, I guess because I'm used to it, it doesn't really scare me. And I don't believe that God will let anything like that hurt me anyway. And I think that as far as, like, evil people that are living are more to be frightened of than spirits. That's what I believe. But one time I was sleeping, and I had a dog that was he usually slept by my bed. And he was really close to me. And he started barking. And if you have a dog, you know how you can tell your dog's different kind of barks, like, it's barking because it's letting you know somebody's there, or because it's trying to warn you that somebody's there, doesn't know. Well, that's kind of bark he was doing. So I went, because I thought somebody was outside or at the door or something, and I went to see where he was, and he was standing at the bottom of the steps looking up at the landing, barking and growling. And, of course, I didn't see anything there, but I thought that was kind of weird. But, But I know, I guess
animals. And I think animals are sensitive. Yeah.
Right. They can see things we can't see, I'm sure. But
they are. Animals are very sensitive to spirits. And at least in my humble opinion, they do see spirits that we might not see. And I think there's, I don't know if you could call it evidence that could be proven. But Steve, you take this one on again. What do you think?
Well, animals, well, all the time, you always hear. I'll give you a story. It's I started writing my latest book, Confrontation with Evil, about The Exorcist. Have I told you this, Cindy? It's a funny story. And the dog was the first day of writing. I sat down to write, and the dog's pacing back and forth. Now, I'm hearing, like, footsteps upstairs, and I'm listening to music because I listen to Ave Maria while I'm writing. And the dog would go to the stairs, and she would look up, and then she would come back to me, and she would go to the stairs, and she'd start growling, and then she would come back to me. So I went upstairs to check, nothing there. So the dog's going back and forth. Ave Maria's playing, and all of a sudden there's a knock on the front door. I go to the front door. And people are standing at the front door with black ties on, and they go, "Have you got Jesus in your life?" Now, I'm writing a book about The Exorcist. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. But it's typical because, you know, the pet was telling you that something was happening. Now, in that case, I knew that I was writing. But it's one of the things that we hear most of the time. People will tell us their animals are barking into places that there's nothing there, or the animal will start behaving strangely, and then the activity would happen, you know, over and over again. And there's been some cases that we've had where the animals have actually been affected and hurt. So, I mean, pay attention to your animals. Your animals will always tell you when something's around.
Right. Yeah. I agree. Teresa?
Yeah?
Have you experienced something like this, too? With
animals? Well, I've only had one time. We went, several of our cases always involve an animal of some sort. Mm-hmm. The one case that we had out in Troy, we went into the house. They had a large German Shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the house had, the little girl had been seeing quite a few things in this house. So we were in the process of getting this thing out of the house. And this poor dog was just miserable. The dog wouldn't go in the backyard. The dog wouldn't go anywhere in certain areas of the house. The dog was miserable. He wasn't eating. He wasn't, you know, it was just terrible. Mm-hmm. And you could see this dog's misery as he followed us. He actually followed us around the house when we were doing the cleansing. And at one point, I had holy water, and at one point I put it on my hands and just wiped this dog with holy water. And mm-hmm. when we got it out of the house, we were in the basement. And when everyone looked up, everyone that was with us, that the family looked up into the open window, because you got to open a window when you cleanse a house. And we looked up, and there were two eyes looking back at us.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say glowing red eyes, it is like you see in a movie, glowing red eyes looking back at us. And at that point, we went out into the yard, and the backyard was completely cleansed. It seemed like after we were done, the dog immediately went out into the backyard.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like, you know, of all the cases we have had, that one always stood out in my mind with this dog.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was like this dog was literally in misery. I mean, you could just
mm-hmm.
tell this dog was worried, and he was pacing. And then when he started following us around, it was almost like this dog knew that he knew where to get the help from. You know, and
mm-hmm.
he was following us around as we were doing these prayers and we were cleansing the house. And it just seemed like when the next few days after that, she had said the dog has no problem going out in the backyard. The dog would go in certain areas of the house now. Everything was, you know, seemed to be, you know, fine with the dog. But that poor animal. I mean, I think animals are truly affected because a lot of times I don't think they quite understand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they know it's there. They know, you know, but they're just not, you know, if it's something mean, they don't really know. They know to bark at it.
Animals know energy. I mean, animals know energy of people even. You know, it's like they will go to the ones instantly that have good energy, but so often they won't go to certain people. And I always trust the dogs. And so I do believe that, but I know there was this case I did where every time the woman went into a particular room of her house, the dog would stop at the mm-hmm. threshold and would... She tried pulling him in the room. She tried everything, and the dog would just whimper and fight it and wouldn't go in until the room was cleansed, and then finally the dog would go into the room. But, you know, sometimes I think the energy of a spirit, and in my opinion, spirits are just like people. You know, if they're still earthbound, if they were mean here, they're probably mean there. And
They're probably double that there.
Yeah, yeah. And so you know what I'm saying.
You know what strikes me about that case when you were talking about it, Teresa, is that was the case where she would tell her mother that she would see Buddy, and Buddy was always he was always wet. And so the mother actually gets
Big Buddy. There was Big Buddy and Little
Buddy. Big Buddy and Little Buddy. And the interesting thing about it is the mother goes into the kitchen because she hears noise, and she finds wet footprints that go across the kitchen floor.
Yeah, and she didn't tell us this. And Stephen and I were talking about it a couple days earlier, and I said, you know, I just have a feeling, you know, I could see this guy. I could see this guy. And we're talking about this, and Stephen had mentioned he saw him dripping.
You're not supposed to tell people that.
I'm not talking about Stephen.
I did. And it's like I did see it, you know, and I knew that water played a part. And I didn't know why. It's one of those things you can't explain. You can't put reason to it. And then later we found out.
Yep, and wet hair. That's what I kept seeing was wet hair and no shoes. I don't know what it is with no shoes, but, you know. Wet hair, no shoes. And then I found out from the mother when I had mentioned that, she mentioned her daughter said, Mom, why is Big Buddy wet? But later, after this case, we found out that there was a, because the what he was dressed in, from what I seen, it was black. And we found out that they had an Amish community a long time ago that was in this area. And I don't know if that had anything to do with this, but that was it. And I tried.
Awfully coincidental,
I tried.
And what's really strange is there was a lake in the backyard.
And so someone could have drowned.
There's the creepy point.
Someone could have drowned there and been, you know, going back and forth in the house or you know, maybe he fished in there in waders or something and took them off and came through the house. You know, we'll never know the story. But there's so many possibilities.
This little girl is one of, I always say, my sensitives, because this little girl was so sensitive. They had more of a portal in the house, and we kind of blocked it, but things, you know, a sensitive will pick up things. So the mother is taking a shower, and this little four-year-old walks into her mother and says, Mom, she said, the lady's here. And she said, yeah. And she said, she wonders why your breasts are so little. They've never used that word at all. They've never used that word around her. And she just kind of, she calls me up the next day and she goes, now I've got a ghost heckling me.
Okay, that's funny. But to get back to you, Deneen, if your animal is sensing something in the house, pretty much it's the same thing. You can do a cleansing or get someone to come over and just do a cleansing.
I don't live in that house anymore. But
if it ever should happen, you know, you can tell them to leave and then ignore them. Most of the time when you do that, they leave.
White sage is real good too.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
How do you know if it's a ghost or if it's just someone who has already passed who is just trying to get your attention? How do you know the difference?
Oh, you'll know. I mean, if it was something, and I think the question you probably are asking is, how do I know this is a ghost or something evil? If it's something evil, you know.
No, I don't mean something evil. I just mean like a ghost, or because I've actually had something like
a loved one pass
their hand
and you're wondering.
Hair.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know. So how do you? And I've never had anything that felt evil to me, except for the time when the dog was barking up the stairs. That was kind of creepy. Mm. But I mean, how do you know if it's someone? Because like I have a son that passed away when I lost my mom when I was 9.
Most common thing. What do you think? What do you think this is? When you feel something
right.
go through
well,
your hair, what do you
okay,
think?
Okay, I see what you're saying. Because I have had times, because I had one time, I had this lighter, because I used to smoke years ago, and I had a lighter that played Jingle Bells, and you had to, like, press a button and then click this thing for it to start singing. And it would, and a couple of times it's gone off by itself. And I always thought that was my mom, really. That's the first thing that came to my mind is, oh, that's my mom. And it was almost like, and I've had times where I could actually, like, feel that she was there.
Mm-hmm.
But,
yeah.
All right, I guess I see what you're saying then. So
you see, what I'm telling you is if it's a loved one, you're going to know it's a loved one.
Yeah, you're going to.
Nobody,
like
I'm not going to be able to tell
it.
You that. Yeah, you'll know. You know, if it's your son, you're going to know it's your son. I mean, you know, a mother, that bond between a mother and a child and a mother and a son, or you and your mother, I mean, that bond is special. So you're going to know. So that's why I said to you, what do you feel?
Okay, I see what you're saying. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Well, thanks for calling, Deneen.
Okay, thank you.
I'm
going to
put you on.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Thanks for
the question. It was great talking to you.
Yeah. It was.
Thank you. It was really good talking to you. I have all kinds of questions. I wish we could talk all night, but
I know. Well, we'll do more of these shows. We'll do more of these shows. But I did want to say before we pick up the Sarah that Stephen has a website that I've been putting into the chat room, and in case you came in late to listen, it's www.stephenlachance, StevenLachance. StevenLachance.com. He's got all of his books over on the website. The books are amazing. If you go over there, take a look and see what you think. He did write the book based off of the true story of The Exorcist. Also, The Screaming House, which is the house that he lived in with his children that the church did a whole report on because it had evil entities there. It was a horrifying time for him at the time. But go over to his website, take a look. He's written. You've got another book coming out soon, right?
Well, I'm writing
Stephen?
It right now.
Yeah, I thought you did.
You never know. It could take me forever because I'm one of these people that if I'm inspired, I write.
Yeah, and so, yeah, he's got some amazing stories that if you like those types of books, you should go over and grab one. But the last person that we have tonight is going to be Sarah, and she's a personal friend of yours, I guess, Stephen. Wayne wrote that in there anyway. Sarah?
Hi.
Hi.
I'm here. Hi, can you guys hear me okay?
Yeah, hi, Sarah.
The phone, I'll take you off speaker. Does it sound better?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, yeah, so the phone didn't get too hot. Hey, Stephen, this is Sarah Dowell Cook. Sarah Dowell is my maiden name. I grew up in Washington, Missouri.
Uh-huh.
I'm 2 years younger than you. I don't know if you remember me. I graduated from Washington High, and I'm friends with Linda Blockerham. And some other,
okay.
Yes. So I saw that you were having this show tonight, and I wanted to join in.
Awesome.
I cannot wait to read your books. Speaking about ghost experiences is not, I will tell my friends, and even my husband kind of like brushes me off. And I love, Cindy, what you said about they pick up on people with good energy, because I'd love to think that's what's going on. But I love to think about how I, you know, grew up. There was certain things that, oh, yeah, maybe there is, maybe there exists, and I never had the tragic experiences. But I wanted to share a story about when the Rams went to the Super Bowl in New Orleans. It was, what, year 2000, right? And my friends and I here in St. Louis were looking for a place to stay in New Orleans during the Super Bowl. And my friend was like, oh, my friend's parents that I work with have a house right off of Bourbon Street. We said, oh, we would love to rent your house. And they're like, oh, you have to talk to my mom and dad. They're funny about renting the house now. They say it's haunted. Well, we thought they were just, like, crazy. And we were like, you know, we'd love to rent your place for during the weekend of the Rams Super Bowl. And they're like, no, ever since they built, dug up the burial ground across the street, all the spirits came across the street, and they're in our our apartments and condos, and it's just horrible to stay there. Well, we were like, okay, yeah, whatever. We want to rent it. How much? We'll pay you. And so I only lasted in there 3 nights. what I thought was, yeah, what I thought was a complete and utter joke turned out not to be. So we all had friends over. We got there on a Thursday. I only made it Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. I never could stay through. Sunday was the game, and I barely got out of there in time for the game. Thursday night, we got there. We were sitting around with other friends, and the table, there was, you know, a small apartment with a it was a corner lot to Bourbon Street with a balcony, and you could see Bourbon Street. And there was a little dining room table in the kitchen. And we were sitting there partying with some friends, just having a couple drinks before we went out. And the cabinet flew open, and a big heavy metal frying pan came flying out. Well, there was nothing else in the cabinet. I'm not talking a cabinet that was stuffed with crap. This big frying pan, like, came out. And so we all thought that was weird, and then, like, some glasses, like, you know, came together. But other stuff that you can still blow off, right? You say, okay, there's some weird explanation why this pan just flew out of the cabinet, whatever. Well, then I tried to – they said to us, be careful. The door was propped open by one of those old-time irons, the big irons that you would heat up. It likes to move it in the center of the room so you stub your toe. Again, whatever. Yeah, right. No, it would actually do that in the middle of the night. It would move the iron in the thing. Okay, so it's still there's only two of us staying the night there. And I got the couch in the front room. You're thinking, okay, somebody's somehow playing a joke. You still blow it off.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to sleep. There was no sleeping. And my friend, my friend male, he was sleeping in the back bedroom. I had the couch up front. You would actually feel, like, I would sit up, you feel him press down and sit next to you on the couch. He would be right there, right in your face, right? It was constant. And there was just no, I could not get any rest whatsoever. Well, the very last night, there was several other things that went on, but the very last night was the worst. These are big, heavy doors. There are no opening, these doors without making a noise. It's a very old house. I mean, you got to push and pull the door open. I'm in the shower, and I could feel that there was someone on the outside of the shower curtain. The shower curtain blows in. You would hear the door. It's an old, crotchety door. I, like, fling back the shower curtain. You know, it's pretty steamy in there, but there's no way you can open that door. I mean, you would hear it. I watched him write on the mirror, and he did eyeball. He smudged an eyeball, then he smudged an eyeball, and then he drew a smiley face. It was, I left with soap in my hair. You know, my friend, like, I'm screaming, opened the door, saw it on the mirror. It was one thing after another in this house until that day. I mean, you would walk by and you'd see the leaves on a plastic tree move. It was, but since that day, there was never any doubt in my mind that ghosts do exist. And what's hard is when you have an experience like that and you're like, this person, I felt them in the car with me on the way home. I contacted some people once I got home. I live in Wildwood, Missouri. I said they followed me home. People think you're nuts. I'm like, no, I could tell it was like some they were like, he likes you, he's attached to you, and you can't, there's not very many people you can talk to about something like that.
No.
Yeah, I know the feeling on that one. And you know what? The shower thing is kind of common, actually. You know, it's like the one place, and I wrote, if you ever read my book, The Uninvited, I even talk about the shower and being alone and what that feels like, because I was attacked in the shower one day.
And, oh, my gosh, really? Oh, my God, I have to read your book. I can't wait.
Yeah, something came in to the shower when I thought the kids, I thought I had sent the kids to school, but my youngest would always kind of, you know, he would sneak back and stay. And I was off work that day, and I remember I got in the shower, so I hear the bathroom door open and close, and I hear somebody come across the floor walking. And I'm thinking it's him, and I'm like, why did you go to school? You know, thinking I've got to get out of the shower and take this kid to school, you know, kind of thing. And the next thing, the shower curtain starts to move in, and then it sucked in, you know, because it was a plastic shower curtain.
That's what mine did.
And if you suck in, it goes around the face, and this face was coming at me in its hands. And I remember, and that day sticks out in my mind because I left quickly, obviously.
Yeah.
And I can remember, I went to, you remember the White Rose Cafe in Union?
Oh, God, of course I know the White Rose Cafe.
Yeah, I went to the White Rose, and I'm sitting in the White Rose, and I'm looking at other people. And I'm thinking, God, I wish I was like you. I wish I was normal again, and I didn't have these things happening to me. And so that anytime somebody talks about the shower, that always comes back to mind, because I can remember feeling the most vulnerable I had ever felt in my life at that time.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, New Orleans is known for a lot of
paranormal activity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a haven for that. I've only been once, but... there's so many different types of energies as you walk, you know, and you're seeing things depending on what part of the street you're on. And, you know, it's like, and I had to get some validation. I have a friend that owns a place down there that let us stay if I would just go through her house for her and do a cleansing. And you know, we walked all up and down the roads, and I got all of these images and things and went back to her, because she actually works with a paranormal group of people there. She works with Bloody Mary that does the tours in New Orleans, the ghost tours. But anyway, so yeah, it's spooky when you have, I can't even imagine how it would feel to be in the shower and have that happen. Not even
for
a minute.
Yeah, well, my experiences were weird, and they were uncomfortable. I actually ended up taking my pillow and blanket and sleeping on the balcony, because I felt like on the balcony it wasn't like over me, and then I thought it couldn't follow me outside. But then I thought I was wrong when I left there, but because then I felt like it was in the car. But who knows? It might have been. I was just so freaked out. But it's. I'm looking forward to reading your books, and I really enjoyed listening to the stories tonight.
Oh,
nice talking to you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for calling.
Thank you.
We'll talk to you. Hopefully, call back in another time. We'll have more shows like this.
Yeah, I'm following you guys now. I'm looking forward to it.
Okay, cool. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks.
And we'll talk to you later. And, you know, we've got minutes left in the show. So I'm just going to go back to, well, and Teresa, she does help in severe cases, but she works a job. Teresa's on Facebook. And she's, you can find her there. along, you know, everybody that knows Stephen knows he's on Facebook. So, but Teresa is Teresa Reavy, and that's R-E-A-V-E-Y. So you can go over and friend her on Facebook. I hope I didn't say that out of line, Teresa.
No, that's fine.
Okay. Yeah, I know, a little late, right? Oh, well. And I wanted to tell you, Stephen, and you know my show's called Keeping It Real with Cindy for a reason.
Uh-huh.
But you're, I'm telling you this because I love you, and we're probably not going to talk after we hang up tonight. And I went over to your Facebook wall and pulled it up and pulled up your website. And you can't get to your website from your Facebook wall. You have it in there wrong. Just so you know.
Really?
Yeah. I went to your Facebook wall. I clicked on about and, you know, where your website address is. And you have it as Stephen A. LeChance. And it just pulls up some funky wall. So I just, you know, put in the search bar, Stephen LeChance, and it came, and I got the website up. But because you know,
well,
I like
to
put it into the chat.
That's because somebody stole my name at one point, and I had to be Stephen A. LeChance for a while. It's crazy.
Well, and I wanted to tell you that so you could change it in case somebody goes over and is trying to find your website and your books. And so you need to just go in there and make a slight change to that so that it goes to your actual website.
I will do it.
Anyway, I had so much fun tonight. I love hearing ghost stories. And so this was a lot of fun. Thanks. And Teresa, thank you for coming in and doing this.
This was fun.
And you know what? Now I'm going to have you back on the show. You know that, right?
No.
But,
well, you know, I gotta get on, and then I got to think. I don't think about everyone that's listening because I'm like, that's when I get nervous. So I start.
Well, and
I told you and Stephen, I'm fine.
Yeah, I told you within
and
5 minutes.
That calls in, I'm fine with them.
Yeah, it's like understanding that it's just like talking to a bunch of buddies on the phone, you know, and it goes pretty smooth. And yeah, the people in the chat room, Ken just said, love the ghost stories. And anyway, I wanted to, we're going to lose our show here in a second, so I wanted to say thank you to both you, Teresa and Stephen.
Well, thank you.
I love you.
Thank you for having us. Love you, too.
You're so welcome. And I'm going to let you guys go so I can tell everybody what we have in shows coming up, and we'll get you back on air again, Teresa.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank
love
you, Stephen,
you
Teresa.
Love you all. Good night.
Love you, Stephen.
You too. All right. Good night.
Good night, guys. And so I wanted to tell you, next Tuesday at 8 o'clock Eastern Time, I have a guest, psychic medium Winter, is going to be with us. On the 14th, which is the following Tuesday, I have Mark Chabas coming on. He's also a psychic medium. On the 5th of December, I have Joseph Diero, another psychic medium. So we have some readings coming up. These guys have all offered to do last-minute readings, but we've got like 60 seconds. So I want to say thank you to all of you guys. I call you my friends, not my listeners. Without you, I wouldn't have a show. And I'll see you next week. Have a great night, everybody. Talk to you later.